Rice. Well, good morning, church family. It is great to be with you this morning. I'm here standing in the place for Elder Dan Linrude. Several of you have worked with Pastor Linrude as he's walked with you through the journey of finding your next pastor. And he is so, he works so hard and he's so efficient that he ended up with two pastors to introduce today, one in Portland area and one here. So it was my joy to be able to kind of come home for a bit and see lots of friends from years past. I will not say how many years past, but it's great to be with you. You know, this this pastor search process, you know, sometimes we may think it's we are looking for the pastor that we want, or maybe a pastor is looking for a congregation that he wants. But in reality, what we look for is who is the person that God has chosen. Because when God calls someone from one field of labor to another, we know that God is already working to fill the spot that is left open. And so, Pastor Tony, you were selected months and months ago before you even knew it. And what we have discovered is this was what God was leading in all along. It's my privilege to introduce Pastor Tony and Sajudi because I've had the opportunity to work with them a bit. Pastor Tony has been instrumental in some work we've been doing farther on south in southern Oregon as we're planning for a big evangelistic effort this fall. And your gain is certainly their loss because you've been very helpful in what we have planned for this fall. He has helped me with some training for men's ministry leadership. And both he and his wife helped with our prayer conference that we had just a few weeks ago. And what a blessing that was to have you as a part of our team there. And I know that this congregation is going to be blessed by your ministry. I want to share a passage of scripture that talks about a pastoral transition. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And the torch is being passed from Moses to Joshua. And the words, as we begin this chapter, actually come from God himself. And I believe that this is the commission and the challenge that God gives to everyone who is stepping into a leadership role with God's church, wherever you may find yourself in the world. Begins with verse 6, and these are the words of God himself, and this is your challenge and also the promise to you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? He says it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And this is the promise. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. You know, it's not us as humans who lead God's congregation, is it? It's us as we are being led by the Lord. And as the Lord leads. But it's not just a challenge to the pastor as leader, but there's a challenge to the congregation as well. And this is the challenge that Joshua then gave to the people as he accepted the challenge to lead the congregation, now the congregation partners with the pastoral leader in the work of ministry. In chapter 3 and verse 5, this is what Joshua told the people. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, and he casts this wonderful vision. And I know that your pastor has a vision for the days ahead. And this is the vision. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Isn't that powerful? That God is saying that he will do amazing things as we accept the challenge. And I rely on this statement that I find in Spirit of Prophecy. It simply goes like this. All of his biddings are enablings. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has called you to do, God will give you the strength and the resources to fulfill his call. Pastor Tony, it's my privilege to welcome you and introduce you to this congregation. But now I want to invite the congregation themselves to welcome you. Jim, come on up.
Indeed, it's my privilege, Pastor Tony and Sayuri, to welcome you to your new church. This is a great congregation you're joining. And as Pastor Burkeen has already explained, God already had it planned for you to be here. But before we go further, I would like to ask, where is Sandra? To come up, please, because we have something.
At this time, while we're putting the flowers on Sayuri and Tony, I have a little poem I'd like to share with you for them. It's called A Pastor's Life. A pastor's life is challenging. He deals with different folks. For some respond most eagerly, while some he has to coax. Some expectations always rise, for folks are just that way. They'll tend to notice little things and that without delay. His wife must wear her hair just so and dress to suit the saints. He'll need to settle arguments and listen to complaints. He chairs each meeting with dispatch, presenting goals and plans. He supervises needed work and lends a helping hand. He gives direction to the church, encouraging each saint. He guides the members who are strong and lifts up all the faint. Though churches bring their challenges to pastors, one and all, there is one compensation on which each one can fall. A pastor pleases everyone, for everybody knows that some are happy when he comes and others when he goes.
That's for you, I'm leaving.
Pastor and Sayuri, it's just the way we are. Would the elders and their spouses please come up on the platform? Congregation, remain seated while we kneel before God. Father, again, we come before your presence in a special way to ask your Spirit to place a special blessing upon our new pastor and his wife, their ministry here in Roseburg, in your Better Life Roseburg Church. they're very anxious to spread the three angels' message, to fill these empty seats, to invite angels in, to see miracles happen, and to give glory to your name. May they see each of us hard at work as a team supporting these efforts, that you, O God, may be known in all the earth, is our prayer this morning. Amen.
Wow. You have been waiting. We've been waiting to see what God would do. And as we have been seeing God work, I can only have one logical response. And you can join me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures, Him below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You don't know the joy that my wife and I have to be here together with you today. You really don't. We prayed and prayed. I don't need my name tag there. And it's interesting because we've all come from different places, non-coincidentally, to this place. And I believe that being your pastor is such a privilege. It is our joy to be able to lead you at this time. And so, since we've been waiting for this moment, I'd like to just take a moment and do something on this day, because the next week that we'll be here won't be the first time. Today's the first day. And so we've prayed for you, but now we get to see faces and see names on name tags and hopefully remember them. But I'd like to take a moment to just look at you. Is that okay? Thank you. I just want to look at you, at all of you, at every person here in this church, because every person here is important. Every person here is part of the family of God. Every person here is my brother and my sister in Christ. And for that, I praise God. Yes, I am going pew by pew. And you are so patient with me. And I'm going to need a whole lot more patience than that. Because we covet, my wife and I, not only your prayers, but we covet your love. We covet your patience and understanding, because we are but dust. We are erring people. You've noticed the dog. Thank you for giving me this moment. See, I don't want to get to know some of you. I want to know all of you. Because know that my wife and I will be on our knees for you. Because when God's people pray, things happen. Even see some friends from Cave Junction here that came to show support as I was their pastor not too long ago as they moved to Myrtle Creek. I think I got everybody. Thank you. My wife and I are so tickled to be here, but before we get into the morning's message, I've been looking over your church bulletin for some months now, and I came to realize that she actually made the bulletin before I did. Why? Because there was an announcement about the Southern Oregon Women's Retreat. I said, see, honey, you're already in the bulletin. And I started cleaning out some things in my office last week, and I came across a DVD that's still packaged, and what do you know? My wife is on that DVD. So she's on the bulletin. She's in my office already. Maybe I should get here too. But my wife has made up some getting to know you half sheets. Hopefully you got them. And that is for that purpose, because on it we want to know what you need, what you would like prayer for, when we could come visit you. And so if you haven't filled that out, please take time to do so and get it to myself or one of the elders. That way, we can do just that, get to know you more. Without further delay, let us pray. Most loving Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. We don't deserve it. And I praise you because you are not done doing amazing things. We don't just read about yesteryear and what mighty things you've done, but today you will continue just as you have been in the past. So, Father, feed your children, for we are hungry. Speak, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You might think this is my first sermon, but all I heard this morning is, I heard you preaching last night as part of the Better Life family. You see, we are at the right place at the right time. Do you believe that? Oh, I believe it. There isn't a better place I would want to be than right here, right now. This is the right place. This is the right time. Amen? Let's see. Oh, there we go. God is doing something huge in the Roseburg Valley. We did not ask to be here. But God said, Tony, go here. Sayuri, I want you here. And you might be thinking that God might not be up to something in your life. But he is. There isn't a shadow of doubt in my mind that God wants to do something powerful in your life and in this church. We are, you can say it, we are at the, and it is the right. Thursday, I was at Home Depot. And it's amazing, when you leave a church, your time diminishes. Why? Because now you have everybody saying, can you come on over and we need to eat together and we need a fellowship and I need to get a house ready to put on the market. I need to pack. I need to get my books over here. I need to start moving on. And so I'm there, and I was there with the purpose of getting mulch. I loaded the car up with mulch in the trunk, and I put my keys in there, and I told myself, don't put the keys in the trunk because you might get them locked in there. So I loaded the trunk up with all the mulch that I could, and kerplunk. with the keys inside. If you're doing yard work, you're not necessarily wearing your Sabbath best. And so there I was at Home Depot, looking like a bum. And I'm sitting next to my car, and people looking at me, oh, look at him. He's up to no good. Why don't you go do something? And I thought to myself, well, if I could, I would. And so I called my wife. She left her a voicemail. I was using Home Depot's phone number so she couldn't recognize the number. Hopefully she listened to the voicemail. And I even asked people if I can use their phone because I figure, you know, there's the law of probability. Maybe if she gets enough messages, maybe she'll see, oh, you know what, I need to answer that. Because she doesn't like answering unknown numbers, and you probably don't either. And so I asked this one lady, told her of the situation, and she said, no. I'm like, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person, really. And so there I was, at the wrong place, at the wrong time. Why was I at the wrong place at the wrong time? I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why? Because I wanted to get home. Why? Because that's where the mulch needed to get so that the yard can look nice, so that we can put the house on the market. But you know what? That's not my worry. That home is not my concern. This home is my concern. How about you? You see, this needs to be our focus. Heaven, there once was a man who said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, church family, Jesus is coming soon. I'll say it again. Jesus is coming soon. And I can't wait. You thought I couldn't wait to get to Roseburg. I can't wait to get to heaven. What a day that will be. But before we get there, there are some things that need to happen that remind me of a man who is about to go on the journey of his life, and he sees something he's never seen before. If you got your Bible, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says, Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will go now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I don't get what I'm seeing, but I want to understand what's going on. Has God ever done something in your life you don't understand? Maybe you lost your job and you don't understand why now. Maybe you got results from your doctor that were not to your favor. God, what are you doing? Why now? Maybe your spouse left you. Maybe you don't know how to face tomorrow. God, what are you doing? And to every question like that one, God has an affirmative answer. Because the God that you and I have is one that, as the children would sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. Hallelujah. Exodus 3, verse 4, the Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. What an encounter. Could you imagine talking to God face to face? Wow. Exodus 3 verse 4, what we just finished reading, we find some interesting things. Number one, Moses wanted to look and know why these things were happening, and God speaks. You might be thinking, but God, you haven't spoken to me lately. Anyone here feel that way? He speaks right here. The word of God. God talks to Moses from the fire. In other words, God had to turn off the heat to get Moses' attention. Has God been turning up the heat to get your attention lately? Praise the Lord. Because sometimes we get just a little bit comfy where we're at. And then the fire starts. It's like, ooh, I need to pray more. God, what you trying to tell me? Maybe I need to see what this book says more and more. It's in the fire that God talks to us. Just when you thought it was going to burn you, God says something powerful. God calls Moses by name. In fact, he tells him, Moses, Moses. If God says something once, it's important. If God says it twice, it's very important. And if he says it thrice, very, very, very important. And what I love about this is that God knows Moses' name. He knows your name, Nell. He knows your name, Margie. He knows your name, Pastor Chuck. He knows your name, Sayudi. Even if the rest of the church is trying to learn the name. He knows not just our name, but what we're going through. But Moses responds with an all systems go. Why? What was his response? Here am I. When was the last time God put us through the pressure cooker and God calls us to move forward and we say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm game. I'm there. I'll do it. How it's going to happen, I don't know yet, but I know it's going to happen because you're going to give me the power to be able to do it. Exodus 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what kind of ground? We are on holy ground. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, lo, I am there in the midst of them. Translation, Jesus is here. Can you see him? That's why it's called faith. Do we take what this book says? Do we take him at his word? Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Wow, what a moment. In these two verses, we see the following. God manifests himself by fire. Not just that, but Moses realizes he's in the presence of God Almighty. And so are we. Isn't that what Jacob said? Lo, I'm in the presence of God and of the Lord, and I did not know it. But God tells Moses to take off his shoes. Interesting. Ever thought about why God told Moses to take off his shoes? Talk about that soon enough. But God tells Moses of his faithfulness. He's like, let me tell you something, Moses. You remember that guy, Abraham? Oh, yeah, I led him. He was supposed to not have kids, and he had kids at 100 years of age. And you remember that guy, Isaac, that was Abraham's kid, and he was about to get killed, and I saved him. And you know Jacob? Yeah, that deceiver? Yeah, I changed his name, and he became a father of many nations. Yeah, that's me. I am their father, but I'm your father, and I will be with you. Moses hides his face. Whenever we see in Scripture the character of God, that's synonymous with the glory of God, which is also indicative of the face of God. It's his character, just like the law of God. But you know, John the Baptist said that the Messiah, the Christ, would baptize us with what? With fire and the Holy Ghost. You see, that's the difference that Jesus makes. People in this world, in this city, are waiting to see someone who's been with Jesus. Because that's attractive. Because that's something that other people don't have. I believe in making evangelistic plans, and we will have them. But if we're putting all of our marbles in the basket of evangelistic plans and not being transformed into the likeness of Christ through his word and through the Holy Spirit, something's missing. Why? Because it's the Christ in you that makes someone want to know who Christ is. Fire and no shoes. That's the situation that Moses was in. Sees this fire, this burning bush, is not burning, and God tells him, take your shoes off. Lovely. The Holy Spirit gives us power. I believe the Holy Spirit has been guiding this church. And yeah, it was raining a few moments ago. But I think there's more rain inside. It's raining more inside than outside. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things and helps us to remember God's word. I remember one saint coming to me and they said, Pastor, what's that verse that says something, 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 something? And I said, oh, you mean the verse that says this, 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 and that? They're like, yeah, that's the one. I said, well, you may want to read it first. And then the Holy Spirit brings it back into remembrance. That's what the Word of God says. But also, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and in judgment. Ever done something wrong and you didn't know it was wrong? Yeah, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you messed up. The Holy Spirit shows us which way to go. What's that verse? You will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And that's the Holy Spirit. The question is, am I going the right way? Because the Word of God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so am I going the right way, or do I need to make a U-turn? Do I have on the right shoes for that matter? Because God told Moses, take off your shoes. You got the wrong shoes on. They don't go with that outfit. What kind of shoes? Well, there's two kinds of shoes. Number one is what we just finished talking about. Do I have the shoes on that go the right way? Because until I go the right way as I look to Jesus, I'm not going to have another pair of shoes, which Paul talks about in the whole armor of God. They're called the shoes of the gospel. You see, how can I tell somebody about Jesus if I'm not with Jesus? That makes no sense. I can only give what I have. What an opportunity to put on some shoes, some good shoes. We want to be at the right place, at the right time, because that's where Moses was. He was at the right place at the right time. And as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how is it that we get the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 11 says, ask the Father. He'll give it to you. Daily we're to ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Exodus 3 verses 7 to 10, the Bible tells us. I should get there myself. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up to, unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What's going on here? Moses tries to tell God, God is the wrong place. And it's the wrong time, because I'm not your man. I know what you want me to do, but that's not me. Or could it be the right place at the right time? Exodus 3, verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You see, the question isn't who am I? The question is, who is he? It's not about what I can do. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he will do. And the last time I checked, the Bible says, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? Not a thing. The following verses, verse 14 and on, the Bible says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I am is with you, Moses heard. I am is with us. I am is God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is with us. Not just that, but Jesus sees your pain. Not just that, but Jesus sees our pain here and the pain of this whole valley and of the world. And he tells them, I'm going to get these people out. You see, that's the reason why you and I are here. To get God's people out. Out of the world of sin and suffering. Out of a life of darkness and pain. And to that place where they got streets of gold. That is why we are here. And the elders lead the way. I was so blessed to meet with the elders this morning at 8:45. Able to pray together. Able to talk about the needs of the flock. And to work together. 13 elders, praise God. You have elders that care about you. Elders who work hard. And it's the elders that lead the way. Because they are the under-shepherds. But God, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not that guy. Listen to this. But Moses still entreated a more competent person be selected. These excuses at first proceeded from humility and diffidence, but after the Lord had promised to remove all difficulties and to give him final success, then any further shrinking back and complaining of his unfitness showed distrust of God. It implied a fear that God was unable to qualify him for the great work to which he had called him, or that he had made a mistake in the selection of a man. God didn't make a mistake in selecting Moses. God didn't make a mistake in selecting you and I to be here. But he calls us to move forward. But they won't believe me, God. God said, well, they will. We know the rest of the story. God tells Moses, you see that, what you got in your hand? Cast it to the ground. Moses has the scare of his life. He takes off running because he's afraid of snakes. God tells him, well, you pick it up by the tail and becomes a staff again. Then he tells him, put your hand into your bosom. He brings it out, and it's as leprosy. God tells him, put it back in, and it's now made whole. Wow. Can our God do something? Listen to this. A man will gain power and efficiency as he accepts the responsibilities that God places upon him and with his whole soul seeks to qualify himself to bear them aright. However humble his position or limited his ability, that man will attain true greatness who, trusting to divine strength, seeks to perform his work with fidelity. God is going to give the elders strength and power. God is going to give the deacons, deaconesses, Sabbath school leaders, church board members, the custodian, the one who mows the lawn. I don't care what part of the church you have, but God has called you and will give you power to do his will. Even as the rod was simply an instrument in his hand, so was he to be a willing instrument to be worked by the hand of Jesus Christ. You see, what can God do when we put our lives in his hands? He makes a snake out of a rod. He gives leprosy and takes away leprosy. Wow. He parts the seas. Moses was selected to be the shepherd of God's own people, and it was through his firm faith and abiding trust in the Lord that so many blessings reached the children of Israel. So the question isn't, who am I? The question isn't, what can I do? The question is, what he will do when we trust him. Then he says, I got a slow tongue. When I was in first grade through third grade, I remember going to speech class. Now I know that's being seen by a speech pathologist, because I would lift a lot. And they helped me with that. God tells Moses, I want you to go to those people, my people, and tell them what I'm going to tell you. Moses says, my tongue is slow. I can't talk. What was God's solution? I've had enough of your excuses. Go get your brother. Isn't that what he told them? Basically. You see, to reach them requires your brother. To reach them requires your sister. Why? Because I can't go at it myself. I need my church family. And so do you. We only go together. We only go united in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, right after he talks about the armor of God, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, Paul had it clear. He knew that his words weren't good enough. He knew he needed the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak his words. And that's what this tongue business is all about. This isn't the only time God does amazing things with tongues. What do we find in Acts chapter 2? Interesting. We find in Acts chapter 2 that they were all in one accord. It sounds like they were with their brother. They were with their sister in one accord. They were at the same place. They not only were at the same place, but the Holy Spirit descends as they sought God in prayer and in his word. But tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and the Spirit told them what to say and then enabled them to speak different languages to share that same word. Wow. Slow of tongue, Moses? Watch out when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll speak things that you do not have the power to do so. We are at the right place. We are at the right time. But we are also, we have the right purpose. Roseburg. Do you remember when you got to Roseburg? Do you know why you're in Roseburg? Some of us are here by our own choosing. Some of us is like, you know, circumstances played out, so here I am. But you see, I'd like to share a little bit of how we got here. Roseburg, Oregon. We were down in Grants Pass, still live there, soon to live here. And while we were in San Jose, of which getting to San Jose was a story in itself that's not for today, we're there, and we were having the 10 days of prayer to begin the calendar year. Where we pastored in San Jose was a hot place where you had the gangbangers, drug dealers, the prostitutes. You had them all. And this guy walks into our church. The one in the middle, the one pointing his fingers up. His name is Marco. You see, he walks into our church with an ankle bracelet. Why? Because he's on home arrest. Because he is guilty of involuntary manslaughter as part of his unfortunate past with drug dealing. He walks in, and he wants to start getting closer to God than he ever has before. He starts coming. He starts getting to know more of God. And I'm a PK, by the way. My old man is a retired minister. And we had the privilege of both pastoring in San Jose at the same time. And it was my dad who baptized this gentleman. You see how he looks? This is how he looks now. Marco. And yeah, my wife and I, we don't have kids, but that's our son. We also have a daughter just like him who, yeah, blood-wise, we're not related. But through the blood of Jesus, oh, we're related. And so he starts learning how to preach, and some of us here will be doing the same. Some of us here will be learning how to do things we've never learned or had known to do before for the glory of God. And he starts using his spiritual gifts. We end up moving to Grants Pass because that's where God called us to go to. It's the climate. And so we're there because that's where God led us to go, which was much different for us because I had been a senior pastor for at least 14 years. And to take a position as an associate pastor, I'm like, God, if you say so, okay. While we were there, the Lord blessed in being able to start a Spanish group. While we were there, the Lord expanded the prayer meeting. By the way, prayer meeting is the place to be. I don't know what you're doing Wednesday night, but I'd like to invite you. Kind of prayer meeting. We would average at least 50 people a week. And we were able to see how God was transforming the church through prayer. But that's not the only thing that happened while we were there. My wife needed a job, and they asked her to work at Better Life. She's the master controller and receptionist and co-director of what I'll share in just a few moments. And so whatever you see on Better Life, then you see like a commercial, and then you see a next program and that program. Well, it's my wife who programs all those things in the computer. Then we're asked to be the co-directors of Vida Mejor, their Spanish channel. And God is doing amazing things with Vida Mejor, from Eugene down into Reno, down soon into Monterey Bay. And so we're busy doing these things. During that time, Marco decides to go to Souls West. How many of you know where Souls West is, or what is it? It's a Bible college, and where people go to get trained to do evangelism. He goes there. As he's going there, one of their practicums is to prepare Bible studies for an evangelistic meeting. And he's sent, not in the Central California Conference, where that's his home conference, but he's sent to Whittier, California. I'd never heard of the place, Whittier. There, he meets a young gal named Tanya Holland. You guys know her? And Tanya is able to see how Marco works and who he associates himself with. And as they work together, they have a very good working relationship in which Marco's on fire for the Lord and Tanya's on fire for the Lord as she was brought on another year to serve there in Whittier. Praise God. And she's doing a great job there. But then February 4th, I get a call from Elder Linrude. He's like, would you like to prayerfully consider putting your name in the hat for the Better Life Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church? I said, I'll pray about it and I'll get back to you. That's code for we'll pray and I need to talk to my wife. And so I tell my wife about it. And we felt peace as we prayed. What I didn't know as I spoke with Elder Linrude is that I was the 28th candidate. I'm like, I thought to myself, what are these, 28 fundamental beliefs? Was 27 not enough? Come on. I tell Marco, hey, pray for us because our name is in the hat. I didn't know how big that hat was. For a church. I didn't say what church, because we just wanted God's will to be done. Marco starts telling me, you know this Tanya gal? All she does is talk about her church. Her church has amazing people. She misses her church, and they want to be active, and they want to do what God has called them to do, and they're on fire for the Lord, and they don't have a pastor. That came in this year and went out the other. Why? Because I don't know Tanya's church. Marco doesn't know my church. I knew my church at the time. you see, this is the right place. And this is the right time. A couple months later, because this process of getting to this day took a while. And those who were on the placement committee, you know what I'm talking about. One day I'm talking with Marco, and I tell him, yeah, the Roseburg Church is at this stage in their process. And he's like, what church? And I'm like, Roseburg. He's like, Roseburg, Oregon? I was like, yeah. He was like, Tanya's been telling me about Roseburg Church for the last 9 weeks. I'm tired of hearing about Roseburg. I'm like, wow. And so God was helping part the ways so this moment could happen. When the news was given about that we were selected to be your next pastor, I wasn't a strange face. Why? Because you've probably heard more sermons of mine than most people have. Why? Because you've seen me on Better Life Broadcasting Network. And also, by the way, my wife speaks from time to time and is an excellent speaker. Aren't you glad you're in this place?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're at this place at this time? Things don't happen just because. One last thing. Moses was getting ready to go to Egypt. And his wife does something a little drastic. She gets out a knife. And she circumcises their son. Because if she didn't, Moses was about to breathe his last. Interesting. She cut off her son's foreskin and circumcised him. Circumcision, what is that all about? The Bible says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. And the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. You see, circumcision is where the Holy Spirit starts cutting away things from our lives that get in the way of me and Christ. Where I want to go and walk with Christ, but some things are getting in the way. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And I believe God is circumcising us today. Moses went forward. We are witnesses to what he did. But I'm not concerned about Moses going forward. I'm concerned about us going forward. And so I can't preach today's message and just leave you here. Because today isn't just a day to listen. Today is a day to move forward. We will do so as we humble our hearts before our God and walk with Jesus and are led by His Spirit. But I want to give you an invitation, an opportunity to answer this call. I'd like to share a song in closing. And as you hear this song, maybe God is calling you to be drawn closer to Him today. Not tomorrow, today. Because today, Joshua was told, consecrate the people. Because tomorrow, God will do amazing things. And so let us take a listen to that song. And if you feel God talking to your heart, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Need to start from the beginning. There we go. God is doing something in the Better Life Roseburg Church. Do you believe it? I believe it too.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice.